Good day, everyone. Welcome to the Life Investigated Podcast. The title of this podcast today is The One Ruler Government. The One Ruler Government. Of course, this is not a new concept. This has been tried over the years, and in some periods of time, it has had reasonable success, a one world ruler or one government rule. But those kingdoms have fallen, and some were rebuilt and fall again. And you still have, obviously, you still have theocracies around the world today in 2024. If you look at the history, they tend to come and go. And certainly there are crashes within the system and takeovers and coups and all types of different things. But the one world government that I'm talking about is going to be issued in a way that's never been issued in before. And the ruler of this one world government is going to be a man that we see referred to in the Christian Bible as the Antichrist. So I want to give you a little bit of a profile this morning on who this man will be. When could it possibly be that this one world government will take over? Now, I can tell you that 30 plus years ago now, when I first began preaching and pastoring in Christian churches, again, by Christian churches, I do not mean the denomination of the Christian church. I'm referring to the church as the whole body of Christians, the followers of Christ. 30-some years ago, I began to, early on in the ministry, in my teachings that I would present before the body of Christ that would attend and be willing to listen, I began to speak of this one world ruler and this one world government that I see that's prophesied in the Bible. And we can look in Old Covenant Bible, and we can particularly refer to the book of Daniel, and there are others, and we can see certainly clips and snippets of this person throughout the New Testament, and in particular when we start reading scriptures and 1 John and etc., and certainly when we get over to the book of Revelation. I listened this morning briefly to some news, and you had this PhD on there, some kind of counselor or something that was on the news. And he started, he was talking about this unrest and the protest between the people that are trying to take over college campuses for the sake of Hamas, a terrorist organization that believes in not only killing and eradicating all the Jews in the world, but they just believe in killing their own people that live under their governmental rule too. They have proved that time and time again, and they are still doing that today. These protesters are protesting about how many people Israel's killing. Well, how many people is Hamas actually responsible for? So, he said, this PhD, I don't remember his name, but he said, well, you know, America's getting a taste of what they experience over there, referring to Gaza and, you know, all the time with two groups of people with a particular point of view and both asserting that they're absolutely right. So now you're getting a taste of that in America, he said. You've got two groups. You've got the illegal protesters that disrupt everyone's life and try to take control of the college campuses and, well, frankly, try to take control of society, because that's what most of them are getting paid to do. A lot of them are just along for the ride because they have no life. They don't know what they want to do with life, and they have no life, and this sounds easy. Hey, if I go to this protest and sit in for 4 or 5 days, somebody will feed me and give me water, and I can get on TV and I can post on social media and I can make a name for myself. That's all it means to a lot of them. The others are getting paid. Maybe a few sincere people in there that actually believe they're right and believe in their cause. But their cause is wrong. Anyway, this PhD said, you know, America's experiencing what Gaza experiences every day with the two opposing points of view and both claiming the sovereign right to what they're doing. Well, that's baloney. You know, what he said to you, he says, well, the answer to this is for both sides just to come together and find a way to have peace and get along. So that's really what prompted this investigative podcast today is that possible? Is it possible that two groups of people, i.e. primarily Muslim and Jew, will they ever be able to get along? We could trace the history back, as I've said in previous podcasts, all the way back to Ishmael and Isaac, both sons of Abraham, and the division that started then. And as man's got more involved and man's put his own spin into the spiritual aspect of it and the sovereign right aspect of it based on what God said, it's gotten skewed and skewed and skewed and skewed. And they've been fighting ever since. But I would like to remind you naturalized American people, you people that are born in America, lived in America, you're citizens of America, you are white, you are Christian, you are black, you are Christian, you are Asian, you are Christian. Because you're a Christian, you are a target of this hatefulness from these terrorist groups like Hamas and Iran, by the way. So they don't like you. Because if you identify as a Christian, they hate you, and you're only worthy to die like a dog by their own religion. So there's not going to be peace between this group with any other group. Number one is they don't want peace. Now, primarily from what I see from Israel, they will attempt peace at times, but then at least from the outside, one looking in, it looks like they are betrayed with that peace by someone, even if it be the United States, but primarily the other Arab nations. And they go right back to war to defend their sovereignty. It's been this way for centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries. And it's not ever going to come to a resolute of peace until a certain event happens. And that is the revealing, as it is called in different places in the New Testament, the revealing of the man of sin or the man of lawlessness, i.e. this Antichrist leader. So this leader that I'm speaking of about the Antichrist, he's much more than a political figure. He is also a spiritual figure in the fact of what his duties are and why he's on the face of this earth, actually. You see, here's the deal that nobody ever really thinks about in church or speaks on in church. Many of us have said Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, was born to die. He was born in the manger, lived his life, went to the cross, was crucified, and died. And we say that was his purpose as being Emmanuel, God manifested on this earth in the human realm, which I believe is true. I mean, he had an ultimate mission. It's very clearly stated in the New Testament that Jesus understood his mission. We know that for a fact, for when he was on the cross, he said, if it would be possible, you would let this judgment or this cup pass by me. But he knew that it wasn't. So we know that Jesus understood what his mission was, and it was to offer his life as the repayment for man's pathetic, rebellious sin against the sovereign Father. So just as Jesus was born with a specific mission, this man of lawlessness that I'm speaking of, the Antichrist, as he is commonly referred to and known throughout Christian circles, he has been born for this title. This is his destiny. He will be demonically influenced, because it is very clear through the Word of God that he will be led by the arch enemy of God and, frankly, of man, and that is Satan. He will be Satan's number two. Satan's the head of the kingdom. Make no mistake that Satan is head of his own kingdom of darkness. This man, whoever he is, if he's alive or not, I know not, but his entire destiny has been set to be the Antichrist, the one who brings in Satan's kingdom. And he thinks that's what it is. He will be used, and look, because God said this is the way things will happen, and it was spoken of by the prophets, it's going to happen this way. There is going to be a time of tribulation that no man has ever known before. This world has suffered all kinds of tragedies, and still to this day it does. And this world has seen suffering that's beyond, we think, measure. But the suffering that will come through this judgment time of God, the Bible makes it clear that it's never been such a time as this on this earth for mankind. So this Antichrist is coming in, and he's going to come in under the authority of Satan, but yet God's using him. God's going to be using this Antichrist to bring the required judgment on this world for sin, for turning against him. In the end time, by the end of the dispensation of grace, God is grace, so it always continues, but we have been a specific dispensation of this grace since Christ. There will be this leader will be used of God to usher in the judgments that God's already said has to be. It has to be this way, because God gave us to this point in time over 2,000 years of grace, and we still haven't responded appropriately to it. So here we are. So this man's coming to be a world leader. He will have supernatural authority delegated to him by his father, who is Satan himself. He will be under the direct, no diluted influence, direct influence of the king of darkness. And understand this Antichrist is going to have certain characteristics that's going to fool essentially most of the world. He's going to come in. If you look in the book of Revelation, chapter 6 and verse 2, he comes in riding a white horse. Now, a lot of Christians get this confused. This white horse rider in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2 is the man of lawlessness. It's the Antichrist coming to power. Now, Christ returns in Revelation 19 as the King of Kings, and he comes as righteousness. So a lot of people who have been not properly taught in the Christian church think these are two and the same. That just tells me when you think these two writers are the same, you've never actually read the Bible yourself and divided the word of truth like the Bible itself tells us to do. So what's going to be his characteristics of this man's, that his destiny is to be this Antichrist? Well, he's going to be masquerading as the true Messiah. So he's an imitator of everything God is. This is why he comes in an illustrative purpose anyway, riding the white horse. This is how the world knows. Well, the world won't know it. Christians should know it if you're still here. Now, see, I am of the opinion, and it is my faith belief that before this man of lawlessness actually is revealed and takes his throne and becomes the one world ruler, that the believers in Jesus Christ who are watching and waiting for his return, I believe we will already have experienced a supernatural event. What is a supernatural event? A natural event that has been imposed of the super ability or the supernatural ability of God. I believe there will be this thing that's commonly referred to as the rapture. Some will call it the catching away of the church. It's the bringing home. Here's what it is. The people of faith in Jesus Christ who believes what the word says about being taken home before the day of this terrible, great and terrible judgment. It's the believers. It's not church. When we say the church, I believe it confuses some people. They think, okay, all these churches are just going to disappear up in the air. No, the buildings are still be here. And a lot of those buildings will still be occupied by some of the same people who are just faking it. You've heard the expression, just fake it till you make it. Well, that doesn't work in the Christian faith. That doesn't work in our belief and walk and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. You can't fake it till you make it. You'll be one of those still sitting in the pews. Maybe your pastors will even be there. I don't know. Or maybe your pastors will be gone and half the church will be gone. Half of you will be standing there looking around. Irregardless, I believe we believers who are waiting and watching and trusting God, I believe we'll be gone. But there'll be some people who have had some experience in Scripture and have been taught this. And if they'll discern it and look back into the Scripture, when they start seeing these things happen, this man coming to world leadership, and that white horse is symbolic. Now, in all probability, he will be riding a white horse as a symbol. That's not how he will come to power, but it'll be symbolic of who he is. He's going to have all of the expressions of royalty, crowns, the vestures, and everything else. I mean, he's going to, in other words, he's going to display his authority and his power for the whole world to see, so that they know that he's in charge, essentially. And what is his goal? It's conquest. It's conquest. He wants to tear down every remaining bit of any godliness in the world. I mean, we're pretty godless as it is now. So in my opinion, if things stay on the track that there are now, the Antichrist is not going to have a whole lot to do to pretty much push society into an entirely sovereign world of godlessness. I don't think he's going to have a lot of work to do based on what I see going on now. But he will be bent on conquest, anything that's still remaining, and there will be a remnant church remaining on this earth. He's going to attack that. He's going to make sure that even in America, if he can, that there will be no expression of religion other than the one world religion, which will be geared to answering to him and worshiping him. Okay, there will be no other accepted. We talk about political correctness these days. There will be no other accepted form of religion or worship other than the whatever it is he has set him up, himself up, or Satan has set him, this guy, the Antichrist, up to be worshiped as. Now, I'm going to close this segment out. I'm going to do multiple segments on this because this is just too in-depth and too complicated to do it in one session. This guy will not only be symbolic, you'll see the symbols of him. Listen to me, you folks that were not taken in the rapture. This dude is going to be one charismatic individual. He's not going to be any mumbling, bumbling Joe that nobody even understands what he's saying, even his own staff. Joe Biden is not the Antichrist, trust me. Joe Biden does not fit the bill of the Antichrist, so it's not him. This man, and it is going to be a man, he is going to be one of the most charismatic individuals that anyone's ever known. And within the descriptor of being charismatic, I believe he will be one handsome individual. I believe that he will look the part. He will walk the part, he will smell the part, and he will talk the part. People, and this is male and female, not just females being intoxicated with his good looks or his smooth talk. He will intoxicate both sexes. He will intoxicate the whole world. Listen, he will get the entire world intoxicated in his charisma, to the point they're just like little foolish teenagers with their first love. All right, I'm going to leave it at that for this podcast. We will continue the series on the one ruler government. Thank you for watching this watching and or listening to this stream.